So, question. I regularly say not going there. Or is there an opportunity to be skillful when I notice strong emotion? Sometimes I do this quite quickly, sometimes not. This decreases or changes the emotion. However, I know there is also a value in just sitting with an emotion, allowing it to be present longer. Can you speak more about this? I think it's very good to just not go there. So for me, it would be not going to the narrative, the story, and just like just for this sitting this afternoon, whatever narrative or story your mind creates, just become disinterested in it. You know, whether it's some historical thing about something that's happened, or some problem with how the monastery is running, or some future fantasy what you're going to create or do, just become disinterested in it. And if there's a strong emotion involved with it, become disinterested in the storyline, and then that should clear the mind to be aware of the energy of an emotion, and that'll be physical. But just a simple renunciation, I guess that's a form of renunciation, is that you just say, I'm not interested in you anymore. Mompo Buddhadasa, in his last years of his life, he used a Pali word, atamayata, and the way he translated it says, I'm not interested in you anymore. Something very simple like that. And there's something about our mind being fascinated with our own sense of self, our own outrage, our own delusion, our own worry, our own resentments about other people, our own criticisms of ourselves or others, our fantasy projects, where we're going to do, what have we been. And there's a kind of constant engagement with these different narratives and stories that our mind brings up, and renunciation is just the disenchantment. In the we did the fire sermon last night in English, disenchantment, like just not interested. Sorry, you know, the mind starts to try to hate someone. Sorry, I'm not interested. The mind tries to hate yourself. Sorry, not interested. Start to create some, you know, fantasy of what you're going to build or buy or shop, or sorry, I'm not interested. It's that constant just letting go with disinterest in the storyline. But what are you interested in? Interested in the present moment as it is, as it presents itself before thought. And that would be a very good thing. And if within that there's a strong emotion, so be it. That's okay. So differentiating a strong emotion as an energy thing. So like the way strong emotion can be, if you take something like if someone had a really terrible divorce, I've never had a terrible divorce, but I've met people who've had terrible divorces, and then maybe I'm doing walking meditation. Then something triggers some part of that memory that'll have a certain amount of power, and if I pursue that storyline inadvertently, I can have a really powerful sense of whatever happened then, you know, of betrayal. Say I got really betrayed in a marriage, and I'm walking, it might have been 10 years ago, and the memory comes up, and then there's this link and that link and that link, and just goes deeper into maybe outrage or whatever. And that's the linking of storyline to memory. And that's not wrong. It's not like you're repressed or anything. It's just the way when the mind, I'm not a neuroscientist, but it seems to me that's the way it works. So if I'm walking in a meditation path and some memories come up and I'm just saying, I'm not interested, been there too many times, then that disinterest is a kind of recognition that it's there, but no, I'd rather just be in the present moment with the way things are. So I think that could certainly stimulate strong emotions. So if one perceived the practice as having to stimulate or kind of really get in there and stir strong emotions. I don't think that would work. I think it just stirs strong emotions itself. If it came up powerfully and I tried to run away from it, so the disinterest for me would be disinterest in past and future and interest in the present moment. And when I'm in the present moment, then I'm not proliferating about who I was in the past or what I will be in the future. And that non-proliferation to me is not repressive. It's very, very, very present. And then it feels energies coming through it. So people ask, oh, you know, what about that kind of deep psychological work? I've never done anything like that. I've always felt that I've always got enough suffering to work with, thank you very much. Maybe because I haven't been so unaware of my own suffering. Maybe that, I mean, if you're unaware of your suffering, if someone's unaware of their suffering, you can see a person's very, very, very frightened, but they're putting on a, you know, huge mask of courage and whatever, and they're inadvertently dishonest. Then maybe some kind of therapy is obviously maybe necessary, but I'm not familiar with that part of developing the mind. But just your average neuroses that come up that we all have, and memory systems, seems to me if we stay in the present moment and we don't create a sense of self with thought, then whatever comes up is more like energy, sound. And that, to me, resolves everything, always resolves everything. And then the more one does that, then the more, for me at least, I sense the silence within the noise. I sense the space within the objects. So if I'm, like, you can be feeling a bit rattled about life, and you can still notice the silence of witnessing. You can still be with that. So the more and more as we live in the present moment, we observe change rather than always try to change things according to our desires, as I've been trying to point out in this retreat, we observe change, then that sense of underlying silence in the mind becomes apparent. And then the movement is less threatening because you have an alternative to the movements of consciousness. You don't just have to kind of rearrange everything because you're afraid of it. You realize you don't have to rearrange it. It'll shift on its own. So that's a refuge in the silence of awareness, even within noise. So I was saying, like, let's say when we were listening to the JCB digging, the backhoe digging here, and I was suggesting, you know, listen to the JCB, feel your body, we did that, and what is it that knows? And you can get a sense that this knowing is actually bigger, deeper than the JCB. Also, the JCB sounds very, very, very strong. And so Ajahn Sumedho's, say, recommendation of using the sound of silence, that's very, very good for that. But even just if you don't hear that, it's always there. Just getting a sense of the sort of background knowing, the knowing of the way things are, and then trusting in that. So the problem, I think if you take it back to like the first, like the fascination and the constant engagement with, like, analysis then. How many times that we always have to figure it out. You know, we always have to figure out, well, why am I this way, and I shouldn't be this way, and I should be some kind of other ways. Endless fascination with ourselves. And just to not be interested anymore. I'm just not interested in all of that. I'm more interested in what is behind that. Just the knowing. I'm more interested in that. So that's what I was last night, I was saying, where you begin to be aware of awareness, rather than the fascination with sense objects, to be aware of awareness. So like now I could be, you know, like, let's say, what's the strongest sense input right now? It's, I feel hot. this is the hot cold retreat. So I feel hot right now. Now if I become, what would it mean to become preoccupied with bodily temperature, right? I would become averse to that. Then I would figure out a strategy. Okay, you see, we wear these robes. So when we come in here, we've made a commitment. Whatever we got under here, that's it. We're done. So then I start thinking, oh gosh, I shouldn't have worn this and I shouldn't have worn that. And I could sneak out and put a different sweater on. I become engaged with heat. If I'm preoccupied with a sense object. But if I just, okay, so I feel hot. And I just recognize it, hot's this way. So you're gonna sit it up? Yeah, I'll survive. You just take the hit. Right? And you just make a decision to not be interested in heat anymore in that same kind of desire way. Right? That's easy. That's an easy example. Take something more difficult. You just feel critical about something in the monastery. There's lots to criticize. Go for it. You know, fine. If you want to, there's a go. Let's say if you've got a critical faculty, just criticize everything in the monastery. Go for it. You know, that's the opposite extreme. That sometimes you can do. And then spend the whole retreat like that. So what you do is like make things absurd. Bring in the absurdity of always criticizing things that life, say, doesn't suit you the way you would like it to be, how you expect a retreat to be, how you expect the monks to be, how you expect the food to be, don't like the smell of the toilets, you know, tent's not, you know, it's infinite variety of criticisms. And then you say, actually, I'm not interested anymore in criticism. And then you see your mind wanting to criticize things. Yeah, well, it's too hot, fine. You do your best, you know, open the flaps and so on, but your mind begins to be disinterested in sense experience. Yeah? Why? Because you're interested in the unconditioned, not because one is complacent or one is some kind of fatalist, you know, life is some kind of fatal experience, but rather your curiosity is in the unconditioned. So if heat is a condition, that experience, well, it's unconditioned. And that's the awareness turning to awareness. It's kind of different kind of thing. And then we can use critical faculty to try to make things comfortable, and we can use planning to do things. But at some point, at some time in our spiritual life, we have to become disinterested with sense experience, with the objects. Okay, put it that way. I like to think of it as objects. So sounds are objects. Tastes are objects, bodily feelings are objects, smells are objects, sights are objects, emotions are objects. They're objects of awareness, right? So our desire mind is fascinated with the objects of our conscious experience, of the flow of consciousness. And that preoccupation, as I always say, makes you unavailable, right? Makes you unavailable. So it's different than like maybe a perspective on life which is based on maybe like sin, being sinful and not being sinful, that kind of negativity around things. It's not sinful to be interested in feeling comfortable, right? There's a limit to what that can do for you. So you begin to say, okay, what is the unconditioned? And then you take whatever's there, so what's unconditioned in this? And you, what you find is your mind no longer moves outward to try to find something, because you know that moving outwards is only to conditions, hot, cold, good, bad, thoughts, emotions, and then you start to rest. You start to rest in this moment. And then you're kind of curious, well, what is this awareness? And that's a very, it's a kind of intelligent turning of attention. It's not a willful turning of attention out of aversion, say, aversion to something or desire even. It's just like curious, what is it? So the Buddha says there's something which is not created, isn't born, doesn't die. So it's always here and now. To me, that language brings my mind to silence, because you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out that way. You try to figure out, you're still in conditioned realm. So you also begin to, so basically you're not interested in thought anymore. Or the use of thought which is skillful to bring you back to the moment to know the way things are. It's different. Now just think about the, you know, just don't think about it. Observe the things that one loves to think about. You know, maybe think about like modes of self-hatred. We can be really entertained by hating ourselves. Perverse, isn't it? And yet we can. I do. I'm very good at it. And that's just like this preoccupation with a habit of self. A kind of self in some way. So just a sense of, I'm not going to go there. I think it's very good to not go there. And then if there is something powerful, that's when you develop paramitas like patience, endurance. It's okay, I'm just going to bear with the burning through my mind. But not through a storyline, more through just how can I sustain awareness of change. I think that regulars say not going there or this is an opportunity to be skillful. It's great. Yeah, because that you're objective. You know the things that arises. All right. Shall we sit some more?